I'm very excited to be with you guys this morning. And I love our church. I really do. I really do. Oh, I like the energy this morning. Y'all are hyper. This is fun. I only drank half of my coffee, so this is like my hyper level at half. I'm excited. This morning when I was thinking about, Pastor had asked me a little while ago, hey, I really just want to be a dad and enjoy graduation Sunday. And I was like, yes, sir. And he was like, can you preach? And I was like, okay. And I was really praying about, I know, sorry, you're stuck with me today, guys. I was really praying about, like, God, what do you want to share? And what's crazy is God brought me back to something. Our very first official Sunday, I shared something with you guys about a guy named Samuel. A guy named Samuel who was a boy who heard the voice of the Lord. And during that time, I was encouraging our church to be like Eli, to help the younger generation hear the voice of the Lord. And God brought me back to that. And I just felt like I wanted to unpack that a little bit more with you guys today. So this morning, we're actually going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Is it okay if we read a little bit of Bible this morning? Are you guys? Okay. Our seniors graduated high school, so I know they're good, okay? They're getting their diploma. They're going to be good to go. So here's what I'm going to have us do. We got quite a bit of Bible. You guys are going to have to stick with me if that's okay. I want everybody to read this out loud with me, okay? Starting on three. You guys ready? All right. One, two, three. There was a certain man of... What's the matter? What's the problem? Okay, so here's the deal. I'm not going to hold that against you. Deal? And you're not going to hold it against me because we're going to call Mr. Elkanah. We're going to call him Elk. Okay, are you guys okay with that? We okay with that? We're going to go Penina Penny, and I'm going to skip over part of that first verse, okay? I love the Bible, but I don't want to sound like an idiot, okay? So are we good with that? All right, praise God. So starting in 1 Samuel chapter 1 through 28, and then we actually have some more scripture as well. So like I said, please tune in. But there was a certain man whose name was Elk, and he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Penny. Some of you guys are remembering. All right, Penny. And Penny had children, but watch this. Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when... There we go. All right, I'm just making sure you guys aren't thinking I'm sacrilegious for not pronouncing the full word here. On the day when Elk sacrificed, he would give portions to Penny, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion. Now, he didn't do that because she was a big girl, okay? He did that because he loved her. Though the Lord had closed her womb. I'm sorry. I'm just the youth pastor. Don't hold anything. Well, regular programming next week, okay? Though the Lord had closed her womb. And then in verse 6, and her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So they weren't friends. They weren't friends, okay? They were both married to the same guy, but they weren't friends. And watch this in verse 7. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Notice, as often as she went into the Lord's house, there was somebody there that was trying to irritate her and provoke her. And I'm going to stop right here for a second. This isn't my message today, but I just want you guys to know that sometimes when you start to approach what God is doing, Satan likes nothing more than just to irritate, provoke, get under your skin, cause problems. All of a sudden, you're having fights that you didn't even have anymore, but you're having them on the car ride all the way over to church. And let me just tell you guys, don't stop pressing in, okay? Amen? Amen. And then picking up again, therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. These were Mean Girls. One of the requirements when I married my wife Savannah was I had to watch Mean Girls. And this was a Mean Girl situation, okay? Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elk, her husband, said to her, this part's hilarious, you'll catch it. Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? Elk is like, I'm the man, all right? Hannah, what's the matter, honey? Come here. Baby's got you. I'm the guy. You know, like us husbands, we like to think we're big shots. And sometimes you ladies flatter us, and then other times you bring us back down to earth. Amen. We like it when you flatter us, so we like it when you flatter us. But it's important to know that sometimes there's some longings in our hearts. I'm going to make it serious for a second. There's some longings in our hearts that other people can't fulfill. It wasn't a her husband problem. It wasn't even really her fault that she was in this situation. But there are some things that are bigger than your spouse. It's bigger than your family. It's bigger than any friend or anyone could do for you. There are some longings, some things in your life that can only be filled by God. Only God can fix it. And I think it's important we realize that, because God does use community, God does use church, God does use people, but sometimes we and I'm guilty of this, I like to look in every other direction, but hey, God, I like to have as many conversations as possible. Hey, I just need some advice. Hey, I just need someone to pray for me. Hey, I just need to get into a worship service. And sometimes it's just as simple as closing the door, getting in a private place, and just saying, God, the only person who can take care of this is you. So back in verse 9, after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. Hannah was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. Oh, no. I'm not drunk, I promise. Verse 14, and Eli said to her, how long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. Maybe somebody need to hear that this morning. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? She is hurting. She is struggling. She doesn't know what to do. And she's turning to the Lord. She's pouring out her soul before the Lord. And so she says, do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I've been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Verse 17, you guys good? I know this is a lot of Bible. Is this okay? All right, talk to me. Verse 17, then Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. And then they went back to their house at Ramah, and Elk knew. That's Bible for they made a baby. Hannah, his wife, for those of you guys that didn't know. I'm just the youth pastor, guys. I'll keep trying to tell you. Just that. And the Lord remembered her. This is church. This is in the Bible. That's what's happening, all right? Open your Bible now. The Bible is juicy. Don't tell me the Bible is boring. It is juicy. And I love it, because I want to stop right there, too. Hannah says she was weeping. She wouldn't eat. She said she had great anxiety in her spirit. But watch, she left. And the Bible says that she started eating, that her face started to feel again because she was happy. And so notice she had faith that God was fulfilling the promise before she ever went back home. I'm thankful for some praying women in my life, some praying grandmamas and mamas and people in my life who kind of stood in the gap and got before the Lord and had some faith, because that's what Hannah was doing right here. In verse 20, and in due time, not when she wanted it, not when she thought she needed it, but in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. Amen. So all of this happens, okay? We just got a whole backstory here on Hannah, not only on Hannah, but the family dynamic, right? Her husband, Elk, Penny, was just being a mean girl, coming at her all the time because she didn't have kids. And God answers her prayer in a beautiful way. an absolutely beautiful way. I just want to remind somebody this morning, God hears you. God hears you. Don't get weary. Don't quit. In due time, God's going to answer. But I want to fast forward because if you're not careful, you'll miss this. Verse 20 and verse 21, there's a year gap. There's a year gap between verse 20 and verse 21. We know this because, first of all, they went to offer their yearly sacrifices. And then in verse 21, watch this. The man Elk and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. And then look, but Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, as soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Now, I wasn't the best at math, but I know it takes a few months to have a baby, right? And so we know this is about a year later between those verses. In verse 23, Elk's, her husband says to her, do what seems best for you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her along with some sacrifices. And she brought him to the house of the Lord of Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I have made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is sent to the Lord, or he is lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. That's awesome. That's like, so today we have child dedication. This is like Old Testament child dedication, right? Because today when we do child dedication, you come up on the stage, we pray for you, we give you a gift, but guess what? You're going to take your baby back home, okay? Everybody's got their own kids. You know, you're gonna take care of your children. But in this case, Hannah's like, hey, God gave me this son, and I'm giving him back. He's not mine. I'm here to steward him. He's borrowed. This is a life that God had placed in my hands. And I just want to speak to some parents and some family and grandparents for a second. Hey, it's not over yet, but just give yourself a pat on the back. They made it to about 18. They graduated high school. They're doing pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. Give it up for our parents and our family and everyone who helped along the way with that. But there is a transition. There is a moment in life, naturally, and we even see in the Old Testament, where it's no longer, hey, this is mine, let me hold on to it. God gave me this to hold on to and to take care of. There's moments in our lives where we have to just give them back to God and say, hey, God, they're yours. I did what I can do. I'm here. I love them. I tried my best to teach them the ways of the Lord, and they're not mine. They're yours. And we have to give them back. And it's probably a painful thing, I can imagine. My daughter's only 2-year-old. I'm not thinking about that yet. I don't want to cry too much today. But I want to fast forward, and we only have 10 more verses. I told you it's a lot of Bible today. Thank you guys for being able to read with me this morning. But 1 Samuel, back into 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. So we've gotten the part, Samuel's not born yet, he gets dropped off, he's a baby, but now in chapter 3, it says, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, here I am, and ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But Eli said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and he laid down. And the Lord called again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I didn't call you, son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And then Eli realized what was happening, and he perceived it was the Lord calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and laid down in his place, and the Lord came and stood, and calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Amen. Amen. Yeah, give the Lord some praise. All right. I want to speak specifically to some graduating seniors right now, okay? We got to understand something about what just happened here, what is represented here, okay? See, before, Samuel was in God's presence because of his mom and his family. Samuel was there because his mom had put him there. He was in that environment. He grew up around the priests. He was doing the things that he was doing. The Bible says he was working in the temple. He was doing all of that, not because it was his own thing, but because that's what he knew. That's what he grew up in. That's what his family wanted for him. That was the environment that he had. But there's a moment in our lives where it's got to stop being somebody else's faith. You can't get by on somebody else's faith. I'm sorry. Somebody else can't do it for you. They just can't. They can't. Verse 7 said, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." Isn't that a crazy thing? How involved Samuel was with church, how involved Samuel was in ministry, how involved Samuel was in the things of God. But in verse 7, we know that Samuel did not yet have his own relationship with the Lord. He didn't know God. He didn't trust God the way that his mother did. He was doing what he was doing just because that was what he was supposed to do, not because his heart was in covenant with God. And so I just need you guys this morning, no matter where you're at, if you have to ask yourself that question, is this my faith? Is this my faith? Am I doing this thing because this is what I've always known? Am I doing this thing because this is what mom and dad and grandma and grandpa taught me? Am I doing this thing because church has always kind of been a cool place and I have friends here and, you know, I like it? Like, all of those reasons are great reasons to want to be a part of church. But if that's the only reason, then it's not going to sustain you. It's not enough. That can't be the reason, because when life starts to come at you, those reasons, they're not a foundation. They're not a rock. They're not a cornerstone. They're not something that I can plant my feet on and say, storms come at me, life come at me, no matter what, I'm centered in God. You have to have that on your own. You have to come to that place on your own. And let me tell you something. Please don't let life beat you around before you realize that's the truth. Please don't wait until you're in your 40s and 50s before you're like, man, maybe I should try out a relationship with God. Maybe I should do things God's way. Maybe this Jesus thing is the real deal. Please don't get that far along in life. I wrote something in the notes I gave each of you guys. I wrote this. I said, most people miss out on living the abundant life that God wants them to live. Don't be most people. Don't be most people. God is wanting to do so many amazing things in your life, and it may not look like what you think it would look like. It may not be the way that you had planned. And honestly, at first, it might be a little bit painful. But can I tell you, and can I get some saints to attest to this, that when you start doing things God's way is way better. Amen. When you say, I'm going to live my life God's way, I'm telling you, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When you really lean into Jesus, when you really have a relationship with Jesus, there are things that you will have that the world just can't give you. There's a reason why depression is at an all-time high. There is a reason why suicide is at an all-time high. There's a reason why it seems like more times than ever, people are just struggling. I'm just going to tell you, it's because they just don't have Jesus. And I'm not saying Jesus makes everything perfect in life, because we still live in this thing called world. But I am telling you this, there is a peace that only comes from a relationship with God. That's it. That's it. And so a lot of you guys are doing different things. Some of you, life is going to change, and it's going to change fast. You're going to move somewhere. You're going to start something new. Everything's going to be different. It's going to be new. It's going to be exciting. Some of you other people, it might change a little slow at first. It might not happen right away. You might still have some things you're trying to figure out and what you want to do, where you want to go, all those kinds of things. But can I tell you, no matter what your path is, you want it to be led by the Lord. You want it to be led by the Lord. And this isn't just for high school seniors. This is just a great time to hit this home with them. But this is for everybody. I don't know what path you're walking on this morning. I don't know why you're here. But I can tell you this. If you're not walking with the Lord, then you really should reevaluate. You really should consider, like, hey, am I here because I know the Lord? It's a beautiful thing because verse 7 says he did not yet know the Lord. He did not yet know the word of the Lord. But notice that Eli gives him some instructions on what to say. And it's a beautiful thing because Samuel now realizes he's talking not to who he thought he was talking to. He's talking to the Lord. He's having a relationship with the Lord. I mean, you got to think Samuel was serving with a priest. He was serving in the temple. He was doing the things of the Lord. And so when Eli told Samuel, hey, that's God calling you. God's the one speaking to you right now. So I want you to go back. And when you hear that again, I want you to respond to God. And it's a beautiful moment because now Samuel is very aware of what's happening. And in that moment and in obedience, he says, speak, Lord. There's a transition that takes place where it's no longer Hannah's faith. It's no longer Eli's faith. Samuel has a decision to make. When God is talking to Samuel, he has a decision to make. Am I going to respond to the Lord? Am I going to respond to the Lord? And I love the word Lord because Lord is so much more than just Savior. It is Savior, but it's more than that. Because Savior is this picture of I'm drowning and I need somebody to save me. I'm lost. I need somebody to get me. That's the picture of Savior. That's the reason why the Bible uses that word. But the Bible also uses the word Lord. And Lord means I'm going to submit to you. It's not my vote anymore. It's not my way anymore. When we acknowledge God as Lord, and when we make God Lord of our lives, we make Jesus Lord of our lives, when we do that, we're saying from now on, every step that I take, I am taking a step that is ordered by the Lord, that this is a Jesus step, and God forbid I get off a little bit, go to the left or the right, I'm snapping right back because my steps need to be ordered by the Lord. I need to do things God's way, because God's way is so much better. Can I get the worship team to come up, please? And as they're doing that, I do want to give some encouragement to some family who may be struggling right now. Because it's a hard thing. Your child is becoming an adult. I mean, they're not, you know, it's kind of funny in America, like we're an adult, but I'm going to live with mom and dad and get that rent money as long as I can, you know what I mean? But hey, Dad, can you Venmo me $50? Quick story real quick, and then I'll move on. My first date was Savannah. I had to ask my dad to send me money because I was, yeah. Ask me more about it later. That's the only date I ever had that problem. And so it's funny that it ended up being my wife. But it's a crazy thing when you start to step out on your own. And I know as parents, as family, I can't even imagine. My daughter's two. I can't imagine what that must feel like. But I do know this, and it's a beautiful thing. Hannah three times is quoted as saying something about what she expects out of Samuel's life. Three times. Starting in verse 11, she says this, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. She's making a proclamation about how she intends to raise Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 28, she also says, therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. She's making a proclamation about how she expects Samuel to live his life. I want you to see something in verse 22. When I saw this, it really shook me, because it was a beautiful reminder of a promise that God makes. Hannah, I think, probably unintentionally prophesied over Samuel. Watch, she says, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord," catch this, "and dwell there forever." The first two times when she talks about Samuel's life, she makes it very clear that she has an understanding: as long as he lives, he's going to be 80 one day. This is his walk on earth in his life. But the third time, she makes a proclamation over Samuel. It says that Samuel will appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. And it just reminded me of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. And it says, "Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it." And it was just a beautiful reminder to me that there are seeds that have been planted in each of our lives. And we can't predict the moment. We can't predict the circumstances. But we do know that in due time, God is going to do what he needs to do. And so I just want to declare over some family and some graduates today that in due time, when you seek the Lord, you will know that he sought you first. That in due time, when life starts to beat you up a little bit, that you will begin to know God in a new and powerful way. That it won't just be a church service that I attend on Easter and I go with my family so that my mom will be happy. But no, it's your own relationship that you can know that when God is speaking, you are hearing. You're not having to wonder, who is talking to me? What is this drawing in my heart and in my life, this hole that I know there's something more? That we could have been the Elis to point and say, "Hey, that is the voice of the Lord. Turn to the Lord, because the Lord is all that you need." Can you guys stand up with me this morning? I want to pray with you guys, because the older I get, the more I realize there's really no way to like plan what life is going to be like. It just kind of happens. But I'm thankful that I have a relationship with the creator of the universe. The Bible says that his ways are better than our ways, that his ways and thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so I'm glad I don't have to have it all figured out, because if I was the one who was responsible for having it all figured out, I would have, I don't even know how bad it would have been. It would have been just an absolute disaster. But I'm thankful that I serve a God who is directing my steps, that if I will listen and hear what he has to say and lean into him and let him be the Lord of my life, that my life is going to be so much better than anything I could think or imagine. And so I just want to pray with you guys this morning, especially if you're like, "You know what, Zach, I've not been submitted to the Lord. I've been hearing the voice of the Lord just like Samuel calling you. He's been reaching out to you. He's been trying to encounter you. He's been trying to let you know that he loves you. He's been trying to let you know that he sees you. He's been trying to let you know that he cares for you. And he is seeking you. But you've got to respond. It's an action step." Samuel went on to live the rest of his life as a prophet of the Lord. He anointed the first king of Israel, Saul, and then David. And then David went on to have the lineage of Jesus. And Samuel got to be a part of that. Not because of his mama, not because he was in the right place, but because he said, "Hey, I'm going to serve the Lord." And so if that's you this morning, you're like, "I'm not serving the Lord, but it's that time in due time and you're ready," I just want you to slip up your hand this morning. I just want you to slip up your hand this morning. It is time. It is time. It is time to stop doing things your way and to start doing things God's way. He's a good father. He's going to take care of you. He's a good father. He loves you and he knows what you need before you even ask. And so I want to pray with you this morning. And church, pray with me. But if that's you, let's pray together. Dear Jesus, we come before you. Lord, I thank you for what you did on the cross, that, Father, we could have relationship with you. And so, Lord, I pray for every person this morning under the sound of my voice, and even those who are in this room right now who don't know you, God, that they would realize, God, that you've been seeking them this whole time. God, I thank you that you love them. God, I thank you that you care for them. God, I thank you that you have a plan and a purpose and a future for their life, and that, God, if they would just give everything up to pursue you, that, God, that they would realize what they're letting go of is nothing in comparison for what you're going to do. And so, Lord, I just pray for every single person that, God, they would just run into your arms. That, God, they would begin to follow you. That, Lord, their lives would be submitted to you in all things. And, Lord, I pray for these seniors. I pray for these people that are graduating. Life is happening and it's exciting and it's new and there's all these things ahead. Father, I pray that you would be with them. God, give them wisdom. God, there is an earthly wisdom that is like rags, that is foolish, that the world is trying to shove down our throats. But God, your way is better. And so, God, I pray that you would fill them with godly wisdom. God, in James, it says that when we ask for wisdom, we receive it. And so, Father, we ask that you would give these people, these students, wisdom, Father, as they go out to the different environments, the different friend groups, the different places, that, God, you would put your godly spirit in them, that, God, they would be able to discern, and that, God, they would be able to lean into you. Lord, I speak protection and provision. And Father, more important than anything, I speak peace, that, Lord, that they would have relationship with you. Father, we thank you. We love you. Church, could you worship him here for a second? Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. God, we love you. And God, we're excited because, God, there's so many new things that are happening. Not only in their lives as graduates, but God, in this church, in this community, Father. So, Lord, we just pray that you would continue to move, God. We're still believing for miracles, Father. We're still believing for provision, Lord. We're still believing for healing, God. We're still believing that you would send laborers into the harvest, and God, we're still believing for salvation. And so, Father, I pray that you would just continue to do what you're doing. And God, we thank you and we give you all the praise. And in the mighty name of Jesus, all of God's people said, amen. Amen. God is good. And all the time. Amen. Hey, guys, we love you. And seniors, just know we really do love you. Like, we're here for you. Guys, if you all need anything, please reach out to me. Reach out to Pastor Savannah. Reach out to your church community. We're here for you. Right, guys? Y'all are here for them? All right, so make sure you give them money and gift cards for food, all right? Hey, love God, love people, and you guys have a great day.